Anybody seen that TV show? Four people? Well, 24 point something something million others have seen it before. That's a great show. It's a great couple. I've been waiting to play that one for a long time. It's quite a story. My wife and I both have watched some great TV shows together. It's been a while. This one came up recently, and we really love some of the things that we see. But I love some of the things I heard there. The risk that's involved in pushing yourself a little further, being vulnerable. What could God be up to? And yet safety and parameters come up that allow us to see that I might not be safe. I might not be able to step outside here and be blessed. And quite honestly, someone comes along, stirs you up, pushes you outside your comfort zone, and life begins to change and things start to move forward in your life, and risk and adventure and vulnerability. Very powerful couple, doesn't it? Very powerful couple for good. That's what I like about those two, is they're dangerous, the risks they both take. But the compromise is serve Jesus without compromise. And their television show is exactly like that little clip right there. They are very much that way. It's a lot of fun. Fixer Upper. A lot of nuggets in there. And we'll unpack a few of those things, but most importantly today is something that really, quite honestly, sermons and preaching and things like this, these things that we put together, the incredible music this morning, what God wants to do is up to God. We have someone helping with lights and sound and someone that sets these up. But what God wants to do is up to God. What the Holy Spirit is up to this morning and capable of doing this morning, we can't plan. What's in my notes today may not be what you came for. Quite honestly, I hope that it is. I would think that it might be. But when the Holy Spirit designs something or He puts something together, it goes where He wants it to go. Amen? I have no control over that. Thank goodness. And kind of like Joanna, I sit in my chair sometimes thinking, you know, just make sure you don't go over, 35 minutes. And you know, you don't overwhelm people, too many verses. And you know, Natalie needs her deadline. And, you know, I got to meet with the guy in the back, make sure things go up on the screen. You know, but sometimes, last minute, something goes in. Or something happens. And it drives certain people crazy, I know. But I sit back and go, I have this, it came through, this is what I need. And it's hard working in those parameters sometimes because you don't want to say something or maybe you don't want to admit something, but the Holy Spirit is up to something. This week, my family received housing here on the island. Our new house has been secured. And very much like this story, tested 100% to the very end, looking at both options. We did have two options. Totally opposite ends of the spectrum. Totally. Okay? And there's a long story, and one-on-one or in smaller groups, I can tell you what went down. And there's a handful of people that got a chance to walk in to the house already where I'm still blown away. I'm like, this just doesn't feel like our place. And they prayed a prayer that I won't forget, the first prayer we prayed in our home. But this story of our comfort zone and being tested, and this story of not wanting to necessarily move the boundaries, I feel this is where we could be. It very much is a part of what we have gone through over the course of the last 3.5 weeks. It's been a long search. In the midst of full-time everything else going on, this is not that time of the year where you want to do more than just Thanksgiving, you know, or Christmas shopping. That's right around the corner, by the way. It's a lot. God provided. All glory to God. I mean that. When you clap, I hope that you clap for the right reasons and understand that a week ago today, I stood on this stage and had no clue, my friends, what He was up to. In fact, the day that it happened, we had finally resolved that it was going to be somewhere else. And another place came into the picture. I mean, you talk about risk and what the Holy Spirit wants to do. When you plan this, and then He does something else. And if you're visiting with us today, and you haven't been around the last 3 weeks, today I want to wrap up this series we started literally 4 weeks ago called How Not to Get Caught. And literally, I have lived through this material. That's where it was birthed out of, is the fact that I don't want to get caught into the temptations of this world, and yet I do. I do a lot. I'm not out from under it. No one is. Even looking for a house. If you're visiting and you weren't here, let me do a quick review. The first week, basically what I talked about was what happens when temptation wins. And when temptation wins, then you and I lose. And what happens to our life at that point? We talked about the feelings that we go through when temptation does win, the feelings of kind of being a loser. The fact that you just feel like a loser. Temptation has taken over. We gave into it. And just stinks, man. The second week, we talked about sexual temptation. Things kind of heated up in here a little bit and got a little crazy. We talked about the pressures of sexual temptations. Quite honestly, we feel them all the time. All the time, okay? Then last week, we spoke on temptation to fit in, to be cool. And for the first time that I can recall in the history of me being here at this church for 7 years, there were students all over the stage here that gave testimony last week. We actually had a panel of discussion. They had no idea what the question was going to be. I wanted their off-the-top answer off the top of their head. They were high schoolers from the football team and other teams that made up this panel. And we brought discussion together of what are the things that detach you from friends? What are the ways in which you can get attached? What attracts you to a friendship? We actually heard some really interesting answers. Students that are, Christo was sharing and Pablo was sharing about growing up with friends from birth. Basically, this is the only group they've ever known. And behind the casino, when things kick in and they start lighting up and stuff starts happening that's not good, and they choose differently and say, not for me, I'm not interested tonight, they can still maintain their friendship even though I'm not going to participate in what everyone's doing. Interesting. I mean, this Avalon culture, interesting. Whereas when I grew up, if you weren't going to do that, you didn't hang out. Or you weren't allowed to, or you're out of the group kind of thing. Very fascinating discussion that came up from it. Avalon High School. Today, what I want to bring closure to this series and try to do a little bit of review and all of these things coming together. Practical action here, okay? I love being practical, and a lot of folks have said that about myself. I'm just letting you know that I have to have application. I've surrounded myself with people in my life that will help bring some things home. There's great teaching of people I don't know. One of my favorite speakers is Francis Chan. Nod your head if you like. You're a Francis Chan fan? Yeah, look at that. Big speaker in my life. And he's a friend. And years ago, just at a summer camp, and he was speaking, we struck up a friendship through the course of the week. Taught him how to paddle surf, even though he was a Californian, had not done that before. Some stuff started in a series right after that he put together, Crazy Love. Some of you remember that series. And I grew so much from that series. It's a great series. A lot of this is online. There's some great YouTubes with some of the videos he put together. Crazy Love by Francis Chan. I grew in my heart exponentially. Things started to move forward. I trusted this friend in just a brief week of hanging out. And that material that he spoke on that wasn't to me, it was written to millions of people, took me further in my walk with God. Temptation's always there. And I remember Francis Chan talking about temptation in that series. And today, two big truths when it comes to temptation. The first one is this. Temptation is an opportunity to do or get a good thing in a bad way. Write it in if you have your sermon notes today. I love doing fill-ins. It just helps me focus a little bit more. Good thing in a bad way. For example, it may be some legitimate needs in our life that you and I have. It doesn't matter that we have this age gap. It doesn't. It doesn't matter that I may be a certain age. I had some young people on the stage last week, and I was definitely a different age. I don't listen to their music necessarily. I don't wear my boxers up to my chin. I may not have chains and all this stuff. I have a bike chain, but that's about it. But before, I get up and I speak to them in front of FCA, or I'm over town and I see a group of people and I just feel comfortable walking right up to them for whatever reason. There are some things that are a little different. I realize that. Sometimes when I speak here, I'll have someone say, hey, your shirt's tucked in. You need to untuck it a little bit. Or afterwards, my daughter will let me know, you know, Dad, you look like you got three chins going. You need to lose a little weight or, you know, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. I just want to be me. But there's always a gap, and I'm never perfect for somebody. And in my own family, there's always things about me that are funny, and I love being who I am. But we have these needs. And very much so, I have similar needs to your needs. And just because there's maybe an age difference doesn't mean that, you know, I don't have a need to be loved, or you don't have the need to be loved. Those things are similar. And here's where it gets twisted, is when we replace love with lust. It's trying to get a good thing in a bad way. You and I have the need for happiness, to try to get a good thing, to seek love, and, you know, which would be happiness, but in a wrong way. And for me, as I told you before, one of the struggles I have with is food. And quite honestly, I exercise every single day. I mean, there's always something. I'm always fidgety, or I'm moving around. I coach 6 days a week. And so it may not look like I struggle with that, but I grew up for 22 years as a youth pastor. Basically, ice cream, pizza, hot dogs, burgers, fries, right? Sodas. I'm around students. And that's what students eat. That's what they do. And that's how we would attract them. A bag of tacos at lunchtime. If you have it, they will come. And I would just chow down. And I got away with it till about age 30. And then my metabolism changed. And I realized, man, in just a couple of trips to McDonald's, I'm feeling it. And it's showing, and I'm feeling, I mean, it's a fight back and forth. But you know what? Sometimes when I do that, the source of these things, for, you know, it may not be a struggle for you, but it had been for me, and still is to this day. I look for things to get happiness again. Like when I'm struggling and I'm having a bad day, man, I will just go get an entire box of White Castle burgers from Vaughn's. It's over. Especially the ones with cheese on them, I will just put those things down. I just, you know what, just one of those days. A legitimate need, trying to, you know, it's just not good. Not good for me. Bad, destructive way. Or the need for significance. We all have the need. And sometimes what people try to do is they think they have to have a bunch of money. That's what it is. You know what, I'll just work really hard, and this drivenness kicks in. I'll have the money, or, you know, this will give me significance. Try to, you know, talk it up all the time that this is where it lies, quite honestly. Serving people is where it is. Choosing a captain for the soccer team, for the football team. You know, God forbid a certain sport where a kid comes in and he's like, I am now the captain of this team, and it's in their head. I am the captain of this team. And you can kind of read it for a minute there. Whereas, very quickly, the coach reminds them, as the captain, you are the ultimate person to serve. As the leader, you are number one servant on the team. As a captain, you are the number one servant. And all of a sudden, you just kind of watch them go, oh, you know, like, you know, I'm in charge or whatever, you know. Yeah, a little deflated. Yeah, you are in charge. Your skill says you're in charge. Your talent says you're in charge. But we're only as strong as the weakest player on our team, and you are going to be the servant of that person. We are going to get them all here, or we're not going anywhere. And you watch that, and that's not always coached that way. But ultimately, that's what a captain is. They are going to bring the last person on their team forward to say, you will do this. I will make sure it happens. We'll do it together. That's where it leads here, is that significance takes a different turn versus money. The money is used, certainly. It's a good thing. And I'm not bashing things and money. And I know that picture was funny. But quite honestly, people don't take it in the right way. A servant with money, someone who has time necessarily on their hands, but they don't use it to invite people or create a small group. They just use their own time and their own money for their own reason. And I know people that do both. And the ones that have invested in my family and helped sponsor who we are and what we do, I'm eternally grateful to them. They get it. Their lifestyle has not changed. They're wealthy. But they've changed the lifestyle of other people. as a result of their wealth they've given and they've shared and they've done their homework. And let me tell you something. That's where you get significance. Temptation, though, is an opportunity to get or do a good thing in a bad way. The other big picture truth that I want you to hear as we wrap up this series is you've got to realize this. When it comes to temptation, you're not alone. And Daniel and I went round and round with this one last night because this one just kind of appeared in my outline more than once. But it's only here once. And I found that really interesting. You know, we are not alone, bottom line. But sometimes we feel that we are. And some of you in this series, you say, I just feel like I'm the only one that struggles with this. I need to remind you, you're not. You're not, okay? You're not the only one that struggles with this issue sitting in your pew, even right next to you, unless you're sitting alone, and no one's sitting alone this morning, which is great, okay? But right next to you, okay? You're not alone. The Bible says this, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Check this scripture out. It's powerful. Remember this. The wrong desires that come into your life aren't anything new and different, okay? So take a deep breath for me and just blow it out. Many others have faced exactly the same problems before you. Catch that? At school, sometimes a student will come up and share with me a story. And it's something not good. And they want me to know. And it's like, yeah, this happened to me. And it's just really bad. And I'm staring at them going, okay. And they don't see the reaction that they're used to. Or they're expecting. Like, what? You're not blown away? You know? And I sit there and go, no, I've been a youth pastor for over 22 years. And I'm sitting here going, I've heard it all, seen it all, and experienced this. You know, nothing you say is really, I mean, I'm shocked to some degree, you know, but no, it doesn't faze me. You're not alone. And beyond a shadow of a doubt, things that you struggle with, desire, materialism, toys, possessions, money, pride, self-centeredness, anger, bitterness, sexual temptation, envy, gluttony, lying. These are all very similar temptations. Every one of them. I've gone through many. And you can hang them under any banner that you want, but we all struggle with these. You're not alone, and neither am I. So I'm not blown away, and you shouldn't be either. But I need to remind you of that. First and foremost, three action steps to win over these things. How does the Bible say about how we can win over these things? The first one is this. Go to the source. Where is this coming from? Where is the source of our temptation? That is where I engage with someone. And when a young adult looks at me and goes, I went over the top yesterday, and I'm sorry this didn't go right, and I missed this appointment we were going to have. This went really wrong, and I'm not surprised, but I look at him, and I want to get right to the problem, and I just say, where's the source of this coming from? You know, motivation, whatever it is. Where's this coming from? What does the Bible say about how we might be able to win over temptation? Okay? Determine the source. You've got to ask that question when you're tempted in such a way. Where's this coming from? What we like to do is blame everybody. Oh my gosh. That couple sitting there on that stage or on that set, it's interesting when you watch their Fixer Upper show. They're back and forth, man. Well, Chip did this. She told me I could. And, you know, you just watch them go back and forth. It's easy to get into that. It's God's fault. Right? That stick it to the man photo that we've had up here for a couple weeks. He's the one. If he hadn't wired me like this and given me these hormones, it's all I think about. It's all God's fault. If she wouldn't dress the way she does, that's the deal. We just want to blame everybody else. I had a pastor one time, and actually he borrowed it from another pastor, that described blame, when you spell it, blame, so to speak. Really, that's what's happening when you and I blame others. That's what we're doing. We're being lame. We're being lame. We're not taking responsibility for our own actions. I'm not. I mean, it's quick to say the woman who you gave here, you know, she gave me to eat. Where have we heard that before? The Bible says about the source of temptation. Great verse, James chapter 1, verse 13.
No one who wants to do wrong should ever say, God is tempting me. God does not tempt you. Okay? If you don't get anything else, get this. God is not out to ruin your life. I know some of you know that. Maybe today you need to hear it. Maybe you just need to be reminded. Little nudge there, little poke like Facebook. God's not out to ruin your life. Let's remind you of something. The God of the Bible doesn't tempt us. Temptation comes from the lure of our own evil desires. Circle lure. A lure is fake to attract fish. They have hooks on them, okay? And in many ways, they kind of resemble a fish. And they do the job, okay? And I've got more than my fair share in here, growing up on the ocean and living here in Avalon. Just changing up a little bit. Saltwater, Gulf of Mexico, and saltwater Pacific. Have a few of the same lures, but not many. You know, you're going after different things. And as a result of going after different things, you use different equipment. But all of them have this thing right here. No matter what the lure looks like, no matter if you're going for tuna or a grouper, mahi-mahi, which is in both waters, or a marlin, or a great white, it's all always going to have this thing right here, isn't it? Okay? What is that? You see in the back? Yeah. And in some cases, it's going to have more than one hook. Depends on what you're going for. But it's all good when you rip this through a school until that sucker takes a bite on it. And then you rip the lips off the thing. And I'm just thinking here of a million analogies. I don't need to go very far. I mean, your brain's way ahead of me on this. I'm sure you're tracking too. For those of you who have been Christians in here for a while, one of the signs of maturity is that you recognize this hook. Okay, there's a senior who I expected to be here this morning. Don't see him. We had a quinceañera last night that went pretty late. Avoided some hooks, and yet the bait's been there. The bait has been there, and for some reason he has dodged a million hooks. And a person, literally not last night, but a couple weeks ago, stumbled after a specific party. I won't get into details with, but. They were drunk, all this stuff had happened, and specifically, they stayed out of it, they kept themselves sober, and, you know, this young lady fell, she actually hurt herself, she was kind of bleeding all over the place. He was there to take her to the hospital, and he's that kind of guy. And he's been a Christian for a little while now, but life kind of changed for him after summer camp, and he's been kind of living living the part, not knowing what Scripture says, but realizing there's some stuff that's just going to derail me. And common sense, what he had, just said, don't go there. So he chose not to, and he felt comfortable in a rescue mode that night, just like this was my option, and I took it, and it felt good. And he just wanted me to know the difference. And I reminded him, hey, listen, dude, that's the hook in the world's ways. You avoided the hook in the world's ways. Once you're suckered into that, it will rip your lips off, man. It's the hardest thing. My team this morning saw me trying to get a hook out of my little pack that I brought. You guys see me doing that when you first showed up? It took me like 10 minutes to work the thing free. You ever had a hook that gets caught in your sock? Or much worse, your jacket? You go to cast and like, eh, and it kind of pulls you up with it. It's not coming out of there unless you like cut the thing free. The hook and the lure of the world's ways. Some of you say, how do I know if I'm growing spiritually? You know you're growing spiritually if you see the hook in the temptation. Catch that? And that's what this young man did. And I gave him a high five. I mean, he didn't have all the verses. He barely didn't even know what's inside the cover-to-cover scripture. He doesn't know what a Bible even looks like. But he made a right decision that night. And he recognized the hook. That was a good thing. These things, lures, they don't get smart fish. I've fished enough to know that when you see bubbles in the water or where a fish jumped, that's not where you cast, right? That's where he was. Last week, my wife and I were outside and we saw a shooting star. What's the first thing people do when they scream shooting star? So shooting star, what does everybody do? Like another one's going to appear in the exact spot where that one shot, but all of us look right there. You know what I mean? We just do like there's going to be another one right there. And then, you know, two more go over here. Fishing's the same way. You know, something comes up and it splashes there, it's gone.
You want that fish,
you've got to be over here for it,
the direction he's traveling. So oftentimes, you know, you can just picture one of these things just dropping into a school.
I don't know.
Just roll with it for a minute. And there's always that group that hovers around it, right? They do. And you're just sitting there going, go for it, go for it, go for it, you know. Wham! And they're just hovering around it. And then there's, you know, and they'll even come close and then you'll see them back away. Then there's that one, doop, 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 nails it, right? There are dumb fish and there are smart fish. Been there. Because I can sit there and the one I want is not the one I pull in. You know, the sucker I wanted is sitting over here laughing his head off, just going, hey, let's get this guy, you know, whatever.
Roll with it.
And I know today's kind of the last analogy for the image that's been on the screen all week with a fish. What happens when you catch a Garibaldi around here, my friends? You throw it back. Otherwise, everybody on the planet will let you know you have caught a Garibaldi. I don't know what it is, but you reel that up on the green pier and everybody knows the rules to that one fish. And you're like, I'm not dumb. Do you actually think I went for the Garibaldi? Okay. Although there are people that would love to say they do that. My daughter's one of them. I sit there and I go, how hard is it to catch the one that you want? Unless it's a marlin at 500 pounds. And I heard a gentleman caught one of those this week. Pam's son, Logan. I will tell you right now, that is difficult to say, there's the one I want. That's what I'm going for. Oftentimes, we just stumble into it. And I think you're rolling with me here, but if not, track with me carefully here. There's different types of lures. I mean, even some that protect themselves. There's one for weed control and kelp when you're going through it, just to keep it off of the kelp. I mean, some of these things are tricky. I mean, it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck. It may not be a duck. It may not be. And sometimes these lures go after the smart ones too, and they're big. You never know who or how someone's going to stumble. But when they do, you sit back and you go, wow, man, I mean, I would have seen that a mile away. But that was their struggle, and you never knew it. We're all tempted. And that's what we do a lot of times is we look at somebody else and go, well, at least I didn't have that problem. But we have our own. And that's why some of our lives are totally ripped apart. And why some parents' lives are ripped apart. A young lady last night at this quince had a mom and dad intact that came forward and got to dance with their daughter last night. Oh my gosh, this dad was bawling his eyes out. It was the coolest thing. He stood forward. You know, he's a very humble man, hardworking man in our community. And he stepped forward to dance with his 15-year-old. And I just watched that. I must have made 100 photos. I don't even know how many I made. Because I was like, oh, a story. A story worth telling. This is good. And a mom, she was working. She kept coming up telling the guy on the band, I need this, I need that, I need this. She's just working so hard that night. And a daughter who had smiled for 6 hours straight and all the stuff that went into it. Some of these end in a disaster. Some of them end really rough. And then you look at one situation, you go, this might work. This one right here, this could work. This one could make it through. And yet what I want to say is we need to look at every one of those and say, every one of these can make it through. Amen? Maybe that night stunk. Maybe that night sucked. Maybe this stuff didn't go right. But there's always hope for tomorrow. See, that dad's not a perfect dad. That night, he looked perfect. But he's had some stuff. And this mom's maybe had some stuff. There is no perfect family. I'm here to remind you, my family, I don't care if I am a pastor, I don't have a perfect family. I don't mind telling you. We have our struggles. And some days we shine, and some days crash and burn. I want more days that shine. And I don't want to crash and burn. I don't want that for any person. But I turn around and say, there's hooks in everybody. There's stuff that may still be hooked in and it just ain't coming out for a while. And it's going to take time.
But when you get a chance to celebrate, celebrate that moment. Bank it. You may need that for the next low that's around the corner. Amen? You may need it. Be reminded of the good days. When a wedding goes great. Because afterwards there may be a huge fight in that family. And you forget about the celebrations. Life happens and things happen. And these verses are very true and very real. There are lures. And there are difficult days. And we need to research where these things come from so that we can go after those tough days and eliminate more and more of those in our lives. I mean that. Where does this junk come from? I don't want it anymore. And you just have this inner resolve to say, I'm sick and tired of the way we've been living, either as a family or myself. I don't want that anymore. And so you put that question out front. You say, where is this coming from? I'm going to deal with it. The Bible says three places. A, it comes from the world. Great verse. These are the ways of the world. Wanting to please our sinful selves. Wanting the sinful things we see. Being too proud of what we have. The world says everybody's doing it. Everybody's biting at the temptation. What's the big deal? The world doesn't care about it. Sometimes when I ask people, hey, why do you keep coming back? Why do you even come to this church? I mean, I offend you in a lot of ways up here. What's going on? And you know what they'll say? Because you tell the truth. I don't always like it, but you tell the truth. And I got news for you. I'm getting this truth from God's Word. God's Word is what's telling the truth. I don't mind speaking it. And Pastor Ron does not mind speaking it. And Julio at 6 o'clock on Sunday night doesn't mind speaking it. It's painful to some folks. But it's strictly, specifically, the Word of God. That's it. Okay? So if you come here for, you know, because you don't mind hearing the truth, I'm just letting you know the truth comes from the Word of God. And that's where it sits. The world isn't going to tell you the truth about the hook. It's not. It's not going to tell you about the hook. It's going to tell you about the bait. The fact that this lust is going to satisfy something that's missing, but it won't tell you about what that lust is going to do to your marriage. It's not going to tell you what it does to a relationship. It won't. But I'm going to tell you the truth, because Jesus is wanting you to know the truth. The second one is it comes from ourselves. This is tricky. This is tricky. Galatians 5, 13 through 16 says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. In other words, we got a nature that's not good. This stuff is coming from us. Only the Holy Spirit, and this is part of what He does, is activated to come in and fight that stuff. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit doesn't just work through Scripture only. I had a man come up to me the other day, and out of the blue, he just shared something from his heart that was just random for him, but is exactly what I needed to hear for me. Anyone relate to a story like that? Raise your hand. Look around the room, okay? Random to him, but to me, it was like, you know, right there. Just nail me. That's the Holy Spirit. You know why? You know why I know that's the Holy Spirit? Because I played out the fruit of what He was telling me. I played out the story. I thought further to what He was sharing as to where this could lead. And doggone it, there was life at the end of what He said. There was something there that was life-giving and not life-sucking. And I said, all right, I'm going to do this. I mean, you may not know what you just said, but I needed to hear that and I'm going for it. And it was life-giving. And that was a good story. And but there are some things that are weird. There are some things that come up. And even pastorally speaking, things that are weird. I have a friend who's a pastor. He was visiting another pastor on vacation. And in his service, he was sitting there with his wife at a church service. And there was a camera inside the sanctuary that was pointed right at he and his wife. And he put his arm around his wife, and while there was singing going on, and he stared sideways at this camera, staring at him the whole time. And he said he just wanted to flip it off the entire time during the service. This camera was on him the whole time. Pastor said that type thing. And I was going, whoa, you know. But hey, weird stuff comes out. Hey, temptation hits even pastors. You never know where it's going to come from or what it's going to look like. I told you about my thing about people stopping in a rental car, like right in the middle of the intersection, looking at a map. You know, I just want to take them out or something like that. Where is that stuff coming from? It's a sinful nature. You know, take out a biker, randomly gets in front of him, he's like, you know. It's a sinful nature. It comes up and it happens to me. It's normal. Letter C here. They come from the devil. Now, this is a given one. That's why it's the last one. It's a given. Matthew says this, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And I know you realize this, but there is a personal source of evil in this world. I mean, some families need to be rocked right now, so I'm just going to say it. When you wake up in the morning, you have a target on your back. Okay? And I know you want this blanket around you and a cup of coffee of Jesus' love, and I want that for you, and you got to get there. But the bottom line here is you wake up with a target on your back. You're hated. There is an enemy to this world. And I remind men of that every Monday night. And sometimes I'm not reminded of it. And I wake up just, you know, oh, what a sunset. And I get taken out. I'm not prayed up. Sunrise. Sorry. There is an enemy. He does want to take you out. Jesus was tempted by the devil as well. And even though the temptations are from the world, and even though they're from within ourselves, they're coming from the devil here. And we're the ones that walk through the door. We're the ones that bite on the lure. It's our choice. It's our choice. Don't feel guilty about temptation. Don't feel guilty about temptation. It's there. Write it in. And some of you are here, feel like there's something wrong with you when you're tempted. Don't, okay? The choice you make is one thing. But the fact that you're going through something, don't feel guilty. Even though the first message 4 weeks ago when I said, I'm just like you, I'm tempted in many ways, somebody came up to me and goes, oh, you're not tempted like us. You know, I mean, come on, you're a pastor. And I got that from a kid. It was very honest. And I won't mention Poncho's name. But he's growing up. He's a wonderful young man. And they'll look at you and just like, come on, you're a pastor, man. Like, you don't deal with this stuff. And I'm like, dude, I do. We're all together. And Jesus did too. Fully God and fully what? Yeah. And that's what it says. I know what Front Street looks like in July on the beach. I worked in Descanso. I know what it looks like in July and August. You men know what I'm talking about. Okay? Don't tell me I'm not tempted. Don't tell me I haven't seen stuff. The difference is when I turn around and I don't just notice, but I begin to focus. See, there's notice, focus. Notice, focus. We need to stay in the notice and get out of dodge before the focus. That's where it gets rough. And the last thing I want to do is come home and tell my wife, you don't know the temptation I'm going through. You have no idea what's happening in Descanso. You know, the beach is just loaded with all of these girls and all that. My wife does not need that. I don't go to her for my strength. The last thing she wants to know is what's going on. I go to God for my strength. I go to Him to say, help me. And I go to men in my life that are iron sharpening iron to say, I'm struggling. Or this stuff is nailing me. Or this stuff is hard. And a lot of times in church you think, no, wait a minute here. You know, it's you and Jesus. That's not the design. A band of brothers and a group of women in a small group come together and they deal with masculine and feminine journeys that are specifically the design of God. And when things get flawed and things get off, we bring it back to the design. What's wrong with that? Why be secret? Secrecy is where the enemy works. Hiding something is where the enemy works. I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that for you. I don't want that for anyone in my family. Certainly don't want it for myself or my staff or this incredible church and their team. I live here in July. I don't want to focus. Notice, I can't help but notice. Somebody bikes right in front of me, but I don't want it to derail my life and change my life. I'm just letting you know that our decision-making is everything. Hebrews 4:15 says, Jesus has been tempted in every way. You know how awesome this is to me that Jesus, the God-man, was tempted in every way. Tempted sexually? Yeah. Tempted to lie? Yeah. Steal? Yep. Cheat? Do everything? Yep, yep, yep. So when you and I are tempted, you know what that means? That the God of the universe who created you and created me can identify with our temptation. That's pretty awesome. He was tempted in every way, but without sin. And there's the difference between temptation and sin. Sin, it is not a sin to be tempted. Okay? Catch that? And some of you are going, that may be great for Jesus because he was perfect, but the reason I feel guilty is because I've sinned a lot. And I mean a lot. And some of you in your mind, you're capitalizing a lot. And you're living with this shame or this guilt. You have no idea the hell I've created or what I've lived in here. And you focus in this huge and you're punctuating this and capitalizing, drawing arrows to it, you know, putting meaning behind it and, you know, all this stuff behind it. And that's why I feel guilty, because there's been a lot. Let me tell you something. One of the greatest truths I could ever tell you, if you're a Christian, if you're Christ and you stepped across the line and you said no to the world's way and the God's way, check this verse out, Romans 8:1. Great verse. So now there's no condemnation for those who belong in Christ Jesus. The most important part of that verse, I usually have you circle something and underline it, is the period. Belong's a great word. And if you don't get belong, or maybe you don't yet belong, if you're a seeker, and I welcome you this morning, if you're checking this whole God thing out, you're not sure about it completely, it sounds good, but you're still checking out. There's a process going on in your heart. Keep checking it out. Keep looking for this family. There is a great truth. There is no condemnation, no guilt, and the most important part of that verse is the period. Doesn't that sound weird? But it is. There's a period. No condemnation is what it says. You don't believe it, you're going to walk around in guilt. You don't walk, you know, if you don't believe it, it's gonna totally train wreck. Months and months go by, years and years go by, living with the agony and the struggle. My greatest joy to share with young people at our little FCA club, when they come up and, you know, they realize stuff hasn't been right, is let them know, hey man, there's forgiveness. There's hope. You belong. We looked at this last week, and I want your minds for a second. Think about the one thing that tempts you the most. Think about it. What are you tempted by the most? Maybe something to achieve something in a good or negative way. It's a good thing, but you're going about it in a negative way. What's the one thing that rattles your cage that you're always being tempted by? What's that one thing? Don't write it down. Don't share it with your neighbor. Don't do anything right now. Just think about it, okay? Is there that temptation? Here's your choice, okay? You can either try to find your own way out, or you can find God's way out. Last night, I approached this quinceañera. I was outside Tremont, and it was dark where I had to park. And I started heading up the hill, and I walked up, and there was a junior high student who had been involved in some rough stuff. And he said, for the last year, I've steered clear of this stuff. And it gripped me, is what he said. It gripped me. And he just kind of pulled his hands out of his pocket and goes, for the last year, I've stayed clean. And I said, bro, the party may be in this building right now for this young lady, but there's a bigger party happening in the dark out here in the parking lot right now. Way to go. Way to go, man. Hang in there. Hang in there. We're talking all kinds of nasty stuff. But he took a moment to say, for a year. And I took a moment to say, give me something. That's the celebration. How about your 1 year sobriety check? How about a thrill when somebody comes forward? Instead of, we're like, oh, you know, sometimes thinking, well, I'll give them another year. Or, you know, so what? It's been 6 months. The judgmentalism that happens in religious sick circles. I don't want to be in that circle. You don't want to be in that circle. Jesus is not in that circle. You look at someone and say, it's been 6 months. Way to go, kid. It's been a year. You got this. Jump on it. Celebrate. That's hard work. It's too easy to look at him and go, well, you know, you got a whole another year to go before you make it to the way I feel about you. Hang in there, man. Where does that come from? Help someone along the way. Encourage them. Someone trying to fix their addiction versus the world's way. The lure is so rough. It's so sharp. And it doesn't always come out easily. I could get 2 out of the 3 prongs off there this morning. That third one, it held on for another 10 minutes. Y'all were watching me. I almost went and got scissors to cut it out. That third one was a bear. You may have a family member. I know I do. 2 out of 3 things is great. But the third one, it's locked in, loaded. And it's not easy. And you may have to help them cut it out. You may have to help them free it. It may be 6 months or 3 weeks in or a year in. Hang on to them. Hang on to them. Right? It could be you. You're going to need somebody like that. And that's a big thing. These lures are deep. Some of them go real deep. And they got a real grip. This is just a young kid. You know? Barely 8th grade. So whatever the addiction is, you've got to make a decision. You've got to look for your own way out. Or, number 3, decide to follow God's way out. Sounds easy. This is it. If you walk away with anything, walk away with this. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond, circle beyond, what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will provide a way out so you can stand up under it. And if you say, I couldn't help it, I couldn't help myself, you need to take that out of your vocabulary, because the Bible says you can help yourself. The Bible says God wants to give you the power to help yourself. There's no such thing as irresistible temptation. In my life, when I'm tempted to eat the way I eat, or I down something I shouldn't, okay? Gluttony takes over. I do things like this when I have a bad day or I just want to pork out, okay? Remember, food is not necessarily bad. It's when, you know, it's a good thing. Happiness, good thing, in a bad way. I go into scoops and I go nuts, okay? And I've worked hard to not go nuts, and I just go nuts sometimes. I go home, put it on the counter, open it up. I'm not going to do this. I will not eat this. It's too late at that point, okay? I bought it, and it's melting. The power went off in Fairview this week. Man, do I want to eat a lot of ice cream really quick, or it melts. What have I done? I've waited too long. Jesus taught us a prayer. Lead us not into temptation. When I should have been praying that prayer, God help me before I walked into Scoops, okay, or Lloyd's, or even worse. If I turn around and I set myself up and then pray, I'm doomed. I've got to handle it before I get into that. That's what I've tried to teach my kids. Don't wait till it's too late. And if they don't listen, then I pray, may they be caught. What else can I do? It's being clean. May they be caught. They didn't listen. Catch them. Their life depends on it. It's big. We've got to make a decision. Some of us are doing that. We put ourselves into situations, whether it's a sexual thing or lying or cheating, whatever, and they're saying, God help me. We're already too deep, man. By the way, I think a lot of you don't know when you're growing spiritually. Every time you pass up a temptation, you're growing spiritually. Every time you think from this weakness, automatic energy and strength goes into the fact you didn't give in. Think about it. And you are growing in another direction. Amen? Think about it. If I don't give in here, then I've given in to this good here, instant growth. Turn on your brain for a minute. That's good. Walk away here understanding that. That's huge. Great verse here. 2 Timothy 2:22 says this, but run away from the evil, young people. Circle, run. It's a great visual. The Bible is so darn practical. Try to live right. Have faith, love, peace together with those who trust the Lord from pure hearts. The Bible says, Andrew, run away from Scoops, dude. Don't even go into that situation. If you're going to be tempted to go over to that guy's house or study for finals here or do that there or set yourself up in the bar here, let me tell you something, man. If you struggle with something like that, don't even go there. Run away from that place. The Bible's trying to get really practical here. And I think this verse says three ways to run. For those of you working with, you know, groups, InterVarsity, sometimes from Gallagher's Cove over there, or you have, you know, even the one I'm serving in with FCA, there's some big ones here that try to teach this. Great verse, run away from things. How do you run? Read God's Word. Read it. Read it. If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you one. Come get one this morning. They're free. We'll get you one you can understand. I love this Bible right here because it's got a lot of history that goes with this building. It's a very important Bible and has had significant importance over the years. It's Old English, and King James Version, translated in the 1800s, may make it difficult for some people to read it. And I realize that. When you walk in the door, I don't go, "Howeth, thouth, are you doeth? Doeth, youeth, want to sitteth at this peweth with me?" You know, and you try to read it. And then eventually it works. And some of you, January 1st, set up a reading schedule. I'll read 3 chapters a day, and in a year I'll be done with the entire Bible. And 3 months in, you're 59 verses behind, and it goes up on the shelf. I can't understand it. Or this pattern, I said, isn't working. It's not about patterns. And it's not about setting up something. It's about understanding and taking something small that's powerful and letting it invade your life. If you set up something so big that it's not going to work, it's not going to work. And you must understand what you're reading. This is a killer Bible right here. And just as powerful as the one on your cell phone, by the way. Just as powerful. But when it was written in a way that people understood a certain way. And I want you to understand that. It's critical that you get what you're reading, not just because it's what we do, but because of where it can go, where it can go. Use God's power. Sit back. This is not Andrew's power. It's no one's power up here. It's the power of God that changes someone. And I want you to make a difference in the world. At a rodeo, they have bulls. You've seen it, bull riding. The bulls are in the pen like, "I hate all these people riding me." And then what happens? The gate opens. Once you're pinned up, something is happening to that bull. And all of a sudden, the power hits. God says, "I give you this power." And yes, we just don't tap into it. You have this power as a believer. Tap into it. Let it settle in your spirit and then explode for God. This one right here says, never go without asking. The last one. Never go without asking. Ask questions. God, would you give me the power, your power, to conquer the temptations that we will face today? I close this message with that. This is not in your power. God, will you give me this? My wife's birthday was last week. We celebrated a couple days ago. We went for a bike ride. We went along the beach from Seal Beach all the way to Huntington. You know some of you have done that route before. And I'm riding my bike, and this lady with this very awkward-looking dog is walking opposite, and I'm literally staring at this dog from where I can see it to where it passes me, and I literally went right off the sidewalk and almost killed myself into a 3-foot-wall brick wall. Shelley laughed the whole time. And I will never forget, I took my focus off of what? Yeah. Golf carts included, these drifters, you know. And I'm letting you know that when your focus changes and it goes off of God's ways, you will drift. Our focus needs to stay where it goes. You draw God's power when you ask Him, "Keep me focused. I need your help. Today I'm feeling it." Go with Him. Go with your struggles to Him. Allow Him to help you. And if you want to beat temptation, decide to follow God's ways out. Read His Word, use His power, never go without asking. When you slack up and things aren't going right, build yourself a team of people that will come in and stack hands with you and say, "You got this." Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thanks for Your love in the midst of this temptation and the struggles that we have. Thanks that even when we do drift off the path, that You forgive us, and Your character is so full of grace and forgiveness. You don't throw the temptations in front of us that cause us pain. Those temptations come from the world, from ourselves, our own flesh, from the devil. And in the midst of those steps we can take, or when we bite onto those lures, you're wanting to bring us back home, to forgive us, to love us. God, as we all live our lives looking for these legitimate needs to be filled, the needs of love, the need of happiness, significance, may we realize that they're not going to be found in lust or possessions or in money. They're only going to be found when we focus on you. For those that continue to search for that, I pray that you would make that real to them very soon before the hooks cause even greater pain. We thank you for your love. And that your love for us isn't based on what we look like or how much money we have or where we come from. Your love is based on the fact you've created us and want a relationship with us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.